you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He, Jesus Christ, He indeed is Lord. He's above it all, and in Him we live, we move, we have our being. We exist in this paradigm with our primary consciousness being here and all that's going on around us for a window and a season and a time for God's purposes that will be and are accomplished in and through us. So, yes, we're here. And we're grateful. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will be glad and we will appreciate and we will have a heart of gratitude for all that God has done, for all that God has carried us through, for all that God has continued to manifest and show us time and again that He is in control, that He is above it all, that He has all power on heaven and earth was given unto Him, and He said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And we have been doing that. We've been fulfilling that commandment that He has given us, and we go forward as a witness and a testimony everywhere that we go that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord, and there is a way out of this world and this world system. There is a way and a path that leads to freedom and to life everlasting. And we are living testimonies of that. The world doesn't like the fact that we are what we are, but hey, you know, we continue on. We continue on knowing the truth that has set us free and knowing that greater is He that lives in us than he that's in the world. And so therefore, we can go forward with the greater one leading and guiding us. We can go forward with the greater one strengthening us each and every day in all that we encounter and all that we face. So we know in whom we have believed, and we trust, and we have faith amidst all that goes on. So in the middle of all of that, how are you? How are you doing in the middle of all that takes place on this earth at such a time as this? And, you know, in the middle of man trying to, you know, I heard an interesting statement. This was a long time ago, but it was talking about how, you know, this guy found it interesting that so much of people's, just so much of the human dynamic on earth is you know, men trying to become God. And when you look at Jesus, He was God and He chose to become a man. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, God would humble Himself and make Himself obedient even to death on the cross. And therefore God has given Him the name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ indeed is Lord. And we live in that reality, but the contrast between who Christ Jesus is and who the world and the world system would want to prop up and want to use as examples for what you should be and how you should be and all of that. I mean, the world system really is backwards. It really is backwards to what is truth, what is life-giving. You know, life-giving. So, you know, like, for example, like in the world that we live in, the natural, there's natural laws and natural principles that help us to understand certain things. So, you know, in the world that we live in, you know, the light from the sun gives energy and gives, you know, just so many things are able to grow from the energy and that which is given off from the light. If you put a plant in complete darkness, that plant is going to die because it needs the light. So the world, though, what the world keeps trying to do as a system now, going down to a spiritual level, is it keeps wanting to take things into the darkness. But when things go into the darkness, they die. Because, you know, the light is necessary for life. Now, there are things that do exist in the darkness, but, you know, it's not for the type of being that you know, you and I have been created to be. And those are oftentimes what you find in those situations is scavengers and predators and just horrendous things that live in the darkness. You, brothers and sisters, you are children of light, children of truth. And so we need the light. We look to the light. We want the Spirit of the living God no matter what. I mean, that is our pursuit. That is our quest. That is our drive. That is our desire. We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, that's what we want. That's the cry that's within our hearts is for, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. That is the desire of the heart of the child of God. Now, the world tries to dress things up, and this is something that's kind of I was talking to somebody recently about this, and it's a point that we need to keep in mind, is the world, see, it knows that there's a desire for truth in the hearts of those that would be free. So what the world does so often times is when people are trying to get free and they see that, because they can't hold you, because, okay, the veil of the temple was rent in two. It is finished in Christ Jesus. They cannot stop you from going to the Father through Christ. They can't, because He's already paid the debt and the price has been paid and all of that is done. So the work is finished. So what they do is they will try to give you a form of godliness that denies the power thereof, to divert you from the actual real truth. So they will try to divert you in another way. And the way that that often happens too is they will sow a lie in the middle of two truths. So they will give you a truth sandwich. So there'll be some truth at the top and some truth at the bottom, and in the middle there'll be this deceptive little lie that they will sow in there in order to try to take you in another direction, to try to take you in, to try to captivate your mind and your thoughts so that they can take you in another way. Why does the enemy do so much to try to take over your thinking? To take over your mind, to take over your thought life, because the enemy understands the power therein. He also understands the power that if you start speaking, because your words have power, your words have creative ability. You can speak life, you can speak death, you can speak truth, you can speak a lie. So when you speak even over your own life, it has power. So bless your life. Don't curse your life. The enemy wants you to curse your life. You bless your life in Jesus' name. You bless the work of your hands in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless who you are, you follower, you son and daughter of the living God. I bless you in Jesus' name. Don't curse yourself. Don't curse your life. Don't curse your mind. I know sometimes we get frustrated. We get frustrated, but the enemy wants to take that frustration. And instead of us pushing through, the enemy wants us to destroy. He wants us to do his job. See, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So that's what we should be speaking over our own lives, is life and more abundantly. Speak that life. Speak that truth over yourself. I'll speak it over you. You're blessed in Jesus' name. You have a relationship with the living God. That in and of itself is, you know, that could be full stop right there and that would be enough. But God has put us on this incredible adventure with Him to be His ambassadors, to be His light, His spokespersons on the earth, to do the will of the Father and to do incredible exploits in Jesus' name. Now, the world does not understand you, does not understand me, does not understand us, because we are of a different system. We are of a different type. We're a different reality entirely. And to try to, the mistake that we made in the past was to try to explain ourselves to them. There is no need to explain yourself to them. There is no need for you to even make sense to them. But you have to realize where they're coming from too, that their natural reaction is to try to destroy you, is to try to root you out, is to try to pull you into their system and use you like a battery. These are their natural reactions. So, you know, as time goes on, you have to realize that this is part of where they're coming from, because they don't have another gear. They don't have another way. And in order for you to be free, you've got to follow the voice and the leading of the Spirit of the living God. You have to do what He says. And when God says yes, then you go with the yes. When He says no, you go with the no. When he gives you a new direction, a new path, this is how you navigate through. This is why we're like the wind. In John chapter 3, we're wind people. You know, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and he was talking about what the people of the kingdom were like, it's like they're like the wind. You know, in fact, let's grab that one really quick. If you got your Bible, John chapter 3, and Jesus talking with Nicodemus, he says, in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak of things we know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Okay, amazing stuff here, so much. And, you know, so often people have quoted John 3:16, but they should keep going a little bit, because there's some powerful stuff and very relevant to where we are right now and what's going on in the world around us too. In verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, you remember when Jesus talked about how, alright, so Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's just the way, the truth, and the light. So he is the light that came into the world. And so with Jesus, when he was here and he stepped into this darkness and he showed a way, You know, that so when Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he's the light made manifest, when he showed that way, that was the beginning point, you know, for this pathway out of this trap of the world system. And what happened was when that seed that was planted in the ground, right? So he said, look, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. You know, he's talking to his disciples about this. So he had to talk to them about what would be necessary for him to go through in order for God's plan and purpose to be made manifest. So, you know, God did not send Jesus into the world to avoid hardship. He did not send Jesus into the world to avoid suffering. He did not send Jesus into the world to have a cushy, perfect little existence here. Can I get an amen? No. He did not send him here for that. He sent him here to do the will of the Father. And Jesus Christ made himself obedient, even unto death, even the death of the cross, for the purposes that God had for him to do. Now, that light, the way, the truth, and the life, John chapter 14, verse 6, is Jesus Christ. And that light that was made manifest, the Word made flesh, all of these things, these ways that we understand who Jesus is. Well, what would happen? It would grow and fill the whole earth. This rock that was cut out of the mountain without human hands. They came and smashed the idol in Daniel chapter 3. Well, what happened with that? Well, it grew, and so the idol that it smashed was pulverized to the point that there was nothing left. And then it blew away and says like chaff on a winnowing floor. Like it was just, I mean, I've seen that before. Like, you know, it's, yeah, that stuff just, it's gone. It doesn't take much. But it was destroyed. And then that rock grew and filled the whole earth. Now, we've been talking about, you know, this wave of light that we're riding, that in a spiritual realm, it is a tsunami. You know, it is a spiritual wave of light tsunami that is coming in that we are riding. And if you've ever seen the aftermath of what something like that does, and I have firsthand, you know, it destroys things. So, you know, we talked recently, now that we have the site going again, we talked recently about the, you know, about just that this outpouring of the Spirit of God, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So he's pouring out on everybody, on everything. Now, when the light came into the world, men loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. But what happens as the light keeps increasing? What happens as the light continues to manifest? What happens as the light continues to grow and fill the whole earth? Where you cannot hide from the light. You cannot hide from, so this is part of what's coming in. This is part of what's happening right now. And this is why, you know, people are struggling. They're struggling with it because they thought a lot of the things that they did, because their deeds were evil, they thought they were in the darkness, and now they're coming out. There is stuff coming out on people that they did back in the 70s, all right? There is stuff coming out all over the place right now. And for everyone that doeth the evil, hateth the light, verse 20 in John chapter 3, they hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, the worlders and those that have gone the way of that system, they don't come to the light, they run away from the light. The child of God, they come to the light, and they're revealed for who they are. And there is the spiritual separation right there. There is the separation of the wheat and the tares. There is a separation of the sheep and the goats. One on his right and the other on his left. There is the separation of how we relate to that light. So on one side, God is separating. On another side, we are choosing. You know, they're both happening simultaneously. You know, if somebody will choose the light, and if they will choose to go through that, and you know, it's painful. It is painful to come into the light, because it reveals, it exposes, it shows. We're you know, you've got no moves. When you come into the light, you've got no moves. You know, it's just, that's it. It is what it is. You are before God, and He's right there, and that's it. And you bow your knee before the King of Kings, and you let it be what it is. That's it. That's all it is. Will you do that? Will you allow for Him to be above it all? And you know what? Listen, all of us were damaged and messed up when we came into this life and into this world. And we took hits, all of us, in different ways along the way. But God is there. God is with us. And He will lead us through. But He's got to be in that position of lordship. And that's a free will choice. So we choose it. We choose to accept it, or we choose to reject it. We choose to go with Him, or we choose to go with the world. Now, the way the world does it is, it says, look, you know, you've been hurt, you've been damaged, or whatever, and come into the system, and we'll let you hurt and damage other people. And you're hurt and damaged, you're justified in it. And this is, you're okay, we're going to make a religion out of your hurt and damage. Whereas God says, look, I'll set you free. I'll set you free so you can worship me. I'll set you free so you can walk with me. I'll set you free so you can be what you were made to be. And with whatever place that you are broken in your life, those are the places where my Spirit will pour through you and flow through you and make a difference. You know, so often I've noticed, even in my own life, the places where I've been broken is the places where God flows through. So I know sometimes people, you know, they have their perceptions about people. They have their perceptions. People have their perceptions about me. But, you know, it's only the person that knows their own heart. The person that knows their own struggle, the person that knows their own journey, the person that knows their own brokenness. But you take who you are and you bring it before the living God and allow Him to do something with that, and He will. And, you know, I say these things today, too, because we're in the middle also of so many things going on. And a lot of things that are going on externally. But remember, keep your eyes on Christ. We've been talking about this throughout. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. That's what God has said. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Yes? Yes? Did these words change? Is the truth not the truth anymore now that you've gone through some external situations? Come on, seriously. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, you know. So don't be drawn into the way the world thinks and the way the world does things. And don't be drawn into the truth sandwiches that are out there with a lie right in the middle of them. Golly, I see so many of those all the time. You know what? I don't need any of them. None. Listen, I could shut off the radio and the internet and TV and whatever else, not read a newspaper ever again, and I would be completely content. Completely just, I'd be great. You know, but God would stir me in my spirit to do certain things. But this world is trying so hard to get you into their funk. And if you are doing great, and then they attack you with all kinds of weapons in the realm of the spirit, and you know, just God only knows what they're trying to do with all these other digital and just devices that they have out there to affect you. Now, are you going to get drawn into all of that? Or are you going to rise above? Are you going to overcome? Are you going to trust God and let Him lead and guide you? And sometimes it can be the simplest things that can make the biggest difference. Sometimes it can be a small thing that all of a sudden just like, oh wow, that just changed everything. But you have to listen. You have to listen for that still small voice of the living God, because He will show you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will move you out of the way. And there's times He will move you in the way. There's when Jesus was going to Jerusalem, He set His face resolutely to go to Jerusalem for His crucifixion. That was the time, and now's the time. So He's like, okay, I've got to go. All these people trying to save His life. It's like, no, that's not the purpose. In fact, that's the very reason that He came, was for that. Oh, we cannot think like the world thinks. Because the world is governed by fear. In fact, kind of an interesting thing right now, but in the world is starting to get pretty terrified of some of the potential consequences for their actions. So it's an interesting time for the child of God, because we've always had the solutions. Listen, the children of God are the ones with the solutions that walk on the earth. We always have been. The child of God sees and knows what the world never will. The child of God can create when the world can only recycle. The child of God can only, I mean, we do things that the world could never dream of. We create things the world could never have the imagination to. Why? Because life flows through us. The mind of God, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You have access to, you have the mind of Christ. So God created universes, and you have that mind. Do you think you don't create incredible solutions, incredible music, incredible art, incredible science, incredible mathematics, solutions in business and economics, and just intuition and being with people? And I, oh my gosh, the kind of things that are there, that are available to the child of God, are beyond imagination, even in this life. So the world does not understand that. The world doesn't have a concept for that. But it needs that. The world absolutely needs that, because right now they have no answers. See, when things are kind of, you know, sort of stable in the eyes of the world, hey, you know, they brush the children of God to the side very quickly. But when things start falling apart, they start looking for Joseph. They start looking for Daniel. Do you notice that? Check the scriptures and you'll see this time and again. In the scriptures, so the Pharaoh has the dream and he's all upset about it. And then the cupbearer remembers his error and tells Pharaoh about Joseph. And Joseph is brought before Pharaoh, because they needed an answer and they couldn't find it among their yes men. They couldn't find it among the people that would tell them whatever it is that they wanted to hear. Tell them what their itching ears want to hear. They can't find it among them. And they know they need an answer. Where they go, ultimately, it's the child of God that has the answer. Daniel, another one, another case in point. So, you know, in the succession of different kings, Daniel lived through four different kings, you know, as a slave in Babylon. In one of those situations, they had crossed the line. And there's you know that saying where they say the writing's on the wall? There's literally a hand that came and appeared in front of that king and all of his people that were feasting and dining with him with objects that were from God's temple. And I mean, just complete disrespect. And a hand appeared and wrote on the wall, "Mini, mini, tekel, parson." And they had no translation for that. They didn't know what it meant. They turned white as ghosts. And they searched everywhere, and they were trying to give people rewards and everything else. And then finally, somebody figured out and remembered, oh man, Daniel, that's right. Daniel, oh, that's right. There's a guy that's got it. There's a lamb out there. There's a child of the living God. There's somebody that has a solution. There's somebody that knows what's going on. There's somebody that has life in them. There's somebody that hears from God. There's somebody that's still there. What do they do when the child of God is not there? What do they do when that answer is not available? What do they do when that light is withheld from them? Jesus said, there's going to be a time where you're going to look for me. You're not going to find me. You're going to die in your sins. There's going to be a time they're going to look for the children of God, and they're not going to be there for them. There's going to be a time where they're going to look for the Word, and it's not going to be there. Because it's hidden from them. It's withdrawn from them. It's taken away from them. Seek the Lord while He can be found. Just because God calls out to you today doesn't mean that He will call out to you tomorrow. He will be merciful on whom He will have mercy. That's what the Scripture says. So if He's being merciful and letting people know and letting you know, then, you know, go for it while you have the chance. You don't want to miss this. You want to ride that wave, and you want to ride that wave with Christ Jesus. You want to keep your eyes on Christ. You want to be aware of what's going on, but not distracted. Aware, but not distracted. We can be aware of the things going on in the world around us, but we are not distracted. And we pray, we seek God, and we do what God has for us to do. So right now, in Jesus' name, I pray for you. I pray for my brothers and sisters listening in this day. Father, I pray that You'd bless them. I pray that You'd strengthen them. I pray that You'd encourage their hearts in the Word and in the truth. I pray, Father, that they would recognize and realize who they are in You, Lord, their destiny, their calling, their purpose, Your plan, and Your desire for them. Father, bless their hearts and their minds. Bless them in their bodies. In Jesus' name, I pray for strength. I pray for good health and good success. I pray that You'd bless the work of their hands and their minds and their thoughts. In Jesus' name, Father, we just rebuke every thought of the enemy that the enemy has tried to put into our minds that is contrary and in conflict with Your truth and Your eternal reality. And in Jesus' name, Father, we just commit ourselves unto Your hands, into Your care, to lead and guide us into all truth. Father, let Your Spirit flow through each and every one of us this day. And Father, encourage and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. Love you guys. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi, and we will talk to you guys again sometime soon. All right. God bless you. Bye.